Hey everyone, welcome back to all my listeners. This is episode 2 in season 12. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. My name is Sonal Patel, and this is the Paint the Medical Picture podcast series. All right, you guys, now I do apologize for any of those raindrops and pitter-patters that you might be hearing in the background. As soon as I started to record this episode, the sky opened up and it is pouring and thundering out there. So that is the moody soundscape that you hear behind me. All right, you guys, let's get into today's episode. Now, you know it's the second Wednesday of the month, and that means my newsworthy is going to be featuring my OIG work plan, those updates for the month of April 2024. And of course, in my trusty tip, I'm going to be going into the best supplemental documentation that's needed for lower extremity endovascular procedures. That's going to tie in really nicely with the first OIG work plan that I'm going to be talking about, in fact. So I thought the two go hand in hand, so I wanted to provide you with my trusty tips for how to make sure services have proper documentation. And of course, I'm going to go ahead and round out and close out today's episode with a remarkable quote on collaboration by Helen Keller. Today's episode is sponsored by Advanced Coding Services. Let's get into it. Today's episode is sponsored by Advanced Coding Services, a leading medical billing and medical coding school in the United States. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned professional, our training equips you with the tools and support you need to advance your career. Our medical billing and coding school meets your needs worldwide online or in person with one-on-one support throughout your training. We are committed to helping our alumni and credentialed medical community in keeping up their certifications by offering various avenues for acquiring your continuing education units. In addition to our Mastering the Business of Medicine retreats offered several times throughout the year in different parts of the country, we now offer memberships. You can conveniently earn your CEUs by attending our exclusive members-only webinars. Since our aim is to nurture and grow the careers of individuals who work in the business of medicine, we call our member area the Apple Orchard. Advanced Coding Services, educate, nurture, inspire, reaching back with a hand up. So let's get into newsworthy, the month of April's OIG work plan updates. There are 5 updates to the OIG work plan for the month of April 2024. Now, the first OIG work plan update is titled Utilization of Peripheral Vascular Procedures and CMS's Related Program Integrity Efforts. Now, this report is expected from the Office of Evaluation and Inspections. The use of peripheral vascular procedures in the Medicare population has increased over the past decade. In 2022, Medicare paid more than $600 million for atherectomies and angioplasties with and without a stent in peripheral arteries. These minimally invasive surgeries aim to improve blood flow when arteries narrow or become blocked because of peripheral arterial disease, but are recommended only after patients have tried medical and exercise therapies and have lifestyle-limiting symptoms. In addition, CMS and whistleblower fraud investigations have identified these surgeries as vulnerable to improper payments. This work will determine trends in Medicare fee-for-service for surgeries in peripheral arteries over several years and identify paid claims that exhibit questionable characteristics. OIG will also describe the program integrity activities that CMS and its contractors have taken to combat fraud, waste, and abuse specific to procedures in peripheral arteries. This final report is expected in fiscal year 2025. Now, the second OIG work plan update for the month of April 2024 is titled Ensuring Dual Eligible Enrollees Access to Drugs Under Part D, Mandatory Review. Now, this report is expected from the Office of Evaluation and Inspections. Dual eligible enrollees, those are people enrolled in both Medicaid and Medicare, they receive prescription drug coverage under Medicare Part D. As long as Part D plans meet certain limitations outlined in 42 CFR Section 423.120, Part D sponsors have discretion to include different Part D drugs in their formularies, as required under Section 3313 of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. The OIG will conduct an annual study of the extent to which formularies used by Part D plans include drugs commonly used by dual-eligible enrollees. This study will focus on Part D plans 2024 formularies. This final report is expected in fiscal year 2024. Now, the third OIG work plan update for the month of April 2024 is titled Audit of the Office of Refugee Resettlement's Monitoring of Compliance with Employee Background Check Requirements for Unaccompanied Children Program Care Providers that are no longer state licensed. Now, this report is expected from the Office of Audit Services. The Office of Refugee Resettlement, or the ORR, is a program office of the Administration for Children and Families within HHS. They manage the Unaccompanied Children Program, the UCP. Now, to help safeguard children in the Unaccompanied Children Program, federal regulations and ORR policy require all care providers to conduct background investigations on all employees and contractors who may have contact with children in ORR care prior to hiring them and permitting access to the children. The care providers are generally licensed under the laws of their respective state and are monitored by state licensing agencies to ensure compliance with standards of care. Some ORR-funded care providers operate in states that no longer license or perform oversight of the facilities. The OIG plans to determine whether ORR monitored unlicensed facilities' compliance with its background check requirements. Specifically, the OIG will determine whether the FBI fingerprint checks of national and state registries occurred for employees at unlicensed ORR-funded facilities. This final report is expected in fiscal year 2025. Now, the fourth OIG work plan update for the month of April 2024 is titled Audit of Vertically Integrated Medicare Part D Sponsors. This report is coming from the Office of Audit Services. CMS oversees prescription drug coverage for Medicare Part D enrollees. CMS contracts with health insurers known as plan sponsors who are responsible for delivering the benefit through a network of pharmacy providers. Under Part D, sponsors often contract with pharmacy benefit managers, called PBMs, to manage or administer the drug benefit on a sponsor's behalf. PBM services may include contracting with pharmacies to establish pharmacy networks and negotiate pharmacy reimbursement rates. In recent years, the pharmaceutical market has experienced a wave of vertical integration between PBMs, health insurers, and pharmacies. Concern has been raised about the vertically integrated model. One such concern is that by owning many links in this chain, a vertically integrated Medicare Part D sponsor may inflate drug prices. The OIG will determine the impact of related entity transactions within select vertically integrated entities on the prices for covered Part D drugs. Now, this final report is expected in fiscal year 2026. Now, the fifth and final OIG work plan update for the month of April 2024 is titled Medicaid Nursing Facility Supplemental Payments. This report is coming from the Office of Audit Services. CMS has approved Medicaid Nursing Facility Upper Payment Limits, or UPLs, supplemental payment programs in several states. In these particular states, nursing facilities may be eligible for supplemental payments that, when combined with a base payment, may not exceed a reasonable estimate of the amount that Medicare would pay for the services. Under the UPL supplemental payment programs, a state may use a variety of financing mechanisms to fund that state's share of supplemental payments. The OIG will then determine whether payments states claimed under their Medicaid supplemental payment programs complied with federal and state requirements and describe how those payments were distributed and used. This final report is expected in fiscal year 2025. And now, it's time for my best practice tips and trusty tip. Along the lines of that first OIG work plan item for April that I mentioned in Newsworthy, I wanted to provide some trusty tips for documentation support that's necessary to support peripheral vascular procedures. Be mindful to check your LCDs as well as your commercial payer policies as well. Now, here's an example of a written payer policy. Endovascular revascularization procedures, for example, those are our stents, angioplasty, and or atherectomies, are proven and medically necessary for treating non-limb threatening lower extremity ischemia in individuals with claudication due to atherosclerotic disease of the aortic, iliac, and or femoral popliteal arteries when all of the following criteria are met. And this particular policy lists six items of criteria that must be met. So the first is for impaired ability to work and or perform activities of daily living, also called ADLs. And then all of the following conservative therapies have been tried and failed, and they list these next items: for at least 12 weeks of supervised or structured exercise program. And then they move on and list another one: for pharmacologic therapy, and also for smoking cessation if applicable, and also for ischemic peripheral artery disease with ankle brachial index, that's called your ABI index, which is less than 0.90. And then finally, they also include criteria for imaging results showing anatomic location and severity of the occlusion, which means a stenosis of greater than or equal to 50%. And that means those images could be found in a duplex ultrasound or in a computed tomography angiography called a CTA, or a magnetic resonance angiography called an MRA, or an invasive angiography. Now, if duplex ultrasound does not demonstrate a stenosis of greater than or equal to 50%, another imaging modality will be necessary to demonstrate the extent of the stenosis or the blockage. So all of that is listed in this particular written payer policy for these services for endovascular revascularizations. Now, my trusty tip is I wanted to go over that documentation, right? That supplemental documentation to support these six explicit criteria that must be found in the documentation. So for the lower extremity endovascular procedures that are found roughly in the CPT code range of 37220 through 37231, your medical notes need to be documenting the following when applicable: that diagnosis to support that particular condition, to support that particular CPT code. Now, the relevant history and the relevant and pertinent physical examination to include the patient's symptoms and pertinent findings due to ischemia. Now, documentation also has to include the treatments that were tried, failed, and or contraindicated, including the structured exercise program, pharmacologic therapies, as well as any types of smoking cessations, if applicable. Also, you should be including the details of functional disabilities interfering with work or any other activities of daily living, again, those ADLs. Your documentation should also include the ischemic peripheral artery disease, including that ABI, that ankle brachial index. Again, an ABI less than 0.90 indicates peripheral artery disease or PAD. Also, you should be including in your supplemental documentation those diagnostic images, again, those duplex ultrasounds, those computed tomography angiographies, those CTAs, as well as those magnetic resonance angiographies, those MRAs, or any other types of invasive angiographies. And make sure that the supporting report documents the location and severity of the occlusion. Now, all of this supplemental documentation is required to support the medical necessity for these types of invasive procedures, and most definitely in any sort of a post-payment audit situation. And finally, I focus Season 12 Spark on collaboration. I want this 12th season Spark to be filled with our world's thought leaders, writers, artists, philosophers, everyone who inspires the need for collaboration. So, in this week's inspiring quote in Spark is from Helen Keller. Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. So very true, right? This quote reminds us that working together matters. This quote encourages us to foster collaboration to drive impact. This quote inspires us to continue creating a meaningful legacy with the support of others. I'm happy Helen Keller's spark still burns brightly in all of us today. So that wraps up today's episode, and as always, I appreciate you all diving into today with me. If you want more information from me, please go ahead and follow me on LinkedIn. I'll leave links to everything in the show notes below. Now, remember you guys to catch my LinkedIn Live broadcast this coming Friday for my latest episode of Compliance Capers with my good friend and colleague, Betty Hovey. We're going to be continuing the month of May on corporate integrity agreements. This week, we're going to be focusing on a CIA involving an oncology practice. Now, don't forget, it's also going to be on my YouTube channel for Paint the Medical Picture, so you can always see the full video versions there. Now, this Sunday is Mother's Day, so make sure you celebrate your moms or honor her in any way that you can, or simply remember her if you've lost her somewhere on your life's journey. Now, I wish you guys all an amazing and very, very happy week ahead. Thank you all so much for listening on today's episode, and I hope every week with me brings you closer to helping your providers paint a masterpiece. See you next Wednesday.